Is it possible that a case out of Mississippi could overturn Roe v. Wade or Planned Parenthood v. Casey, two Supreme Court decisions affirming the so-called constitutional right to abortion? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Chelsea Human. She is the Human Coalition Action National Legislative Advisor. And Chelsea, it's great to have you back on the program, and let's get right to it. Talk about this case out of Mississippi, this Mississippi law that is being challenged in the courts.
Yes, this case is one for the books. I think it is the greatest and best opportunity for Roe versus Wade to be overturned in 30 years. The case revolves around a 15-week abortion ban out of Mississippi. Mississippi looked at what we know now, what science and medicine and about development of a child in the womb, and they said around 15 weeks, we know that the child can feel pain, that the child's fully formed in the womb, just very small, and that that child is worthy of protection. And so Mississippi passed that statute, and it was appealed all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and for the first time in 30 years, the court is going to consider whether states can, before viability, regulate abortion.
That's very interesting. First of all, let me say this. Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973. Would it be fair to say that the science of the, you know, the reality of the unborn child as the child is developing, the science is far more developed today than it was at the time of Roe v. Wade in 1973?
Oh, absolutely. In 47 years, I mean, think of all the decades that have passed. The science and technological developments that we know, we didn't even know what DNA was back when Roe started all of this. And now we know that a child in the womb has a full set of chromosomes, all the DNA it will ever have at the moment of conception. We know that 95% of biologists agree now there is a consensus that life begins at conception in the womb. And of course, with the development of the sonograms and everything we know it's a human child. It is a human child. It's just a very small human child and a very vulnerable human child. But the real question is humanity worth protecting at that phase? And of course, at Human Coalition Action, we believe it is. But we are very hopeful that the Supreme Court will reconsider all of the new developments that have occurred in the last 47 years and really challenge the underlying reasoning they had for originally allowing abortion in the first place.
I do think we had heard of DNA, but certainly in the last 47 years, we have far more information about it. There certainly was no genome mapping and so forth at the time of Roe v. Wade. What about sonograms?
Mm-hmm. Well, sonograms were not widely used at all. I believe in Great Britain they were starting to use them more widely, but not in America until really the 80s. But since then, we've developed things like 3D sonograms and 4D sonograms, and we know so much more about the development of the child in the womb. And, you know, it's really Mississippi's right as a state with elected officials that are close to the people there to legislate in accordance with what the voters want them to do. And so really this question before the Supreme Court, if you really think about it beyond life, it's also, will the court allow states in their sovereignty to govern their own people and say, look, we believe humanity is worth protecting?
Now, there have been some senators on the left or politicians on the left who are saying that, okay, this is it. If the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, then what Joe Biden has to do is pack the court with more justices, you know, in other words, coming up with a court packing scheme to try and basically overturn the will of the people.
That is definitely something that the left has threatened over and over again. You know, they don't seem to adhere to the rule of law because they're willing to bend and break the rules in order to get their way. But, you know, my hope would be, I don't think they have the votes to do that. That's such an extreme measure and one that would really undermine the legitimacy of Congress. So we have to hope that can't be done at least before midterms when we can all get to the polls and vote and make sure that you're electing people who won't pack the courts and, you know, will ultimately vote to protect life.
Okay, and as far as Roe v. Wade itself, the decision, I remember I read it many, many, many years ago, and I remember the one thing I came away with from Roe v. Wade was that it just went to incredible lengths to say we are only talking about the first trimester. There are three trimesters here, but we're only talking about the first trimester. So in other words, this is only for 12 weeks. But then it turns out there was a companion decision the very same day from the Supreme Court called Doe v. Bolton, and that allowed for second and third trimester abortions, you know, at least in certain cases. And, you know, there were so many loopholes, as one man put it, you could drive a Mack truck through the decision because of the loophole. So in effect, Roe v. Wade gave us abortion on demand. But I bring this up because the 15-week marker versus the 12-week marker. What's the difference between the two? I mean, other than the, you know, developmentally as far as the unborn baby, just in those 3 weeks? Or does it matter?
Yes. Well, you know, in some respects it matters, but still a human child in the womb, right? So 12 weeks, 15 weeks, 20 weeks, it's all a human child. But for the court's reasoning, in Casey versus Planned Parenthood, which was the next big landmark abortion case that came out of 1991, they gutted all of that trimester framework that was in Roe and said Roe was really terribly decided. It wasn't decided on constitutional grounds. The reasoning legally was horrible. But because precedent is so important, we're going to allow it to stand, abortion to stand. Instead, we're going to look at something called viability. And at the point that an unborn child becomes viable or more likely to live outside the womb, then the child is more worthy of protection. It's really an arbitrary line, and it's not one that's rooted in medicine, because as you and I know, the line of viability is always earlier and earlier in pregnancy, because scientific developments have fortunately helped younger and younger babies in the womb born prematurely survive. And so the 15-week ban is important because it is before viability. Right now, at about 20 weeks, when a child is about 1 pound in the womb, it's most likely to survive outside of the womb. And so this ban says before viability, weeks before, we know that the child can feel pain, and that the child responds to pain, and that the child is fully formed. All of its organs are functioning at 15 weeks. All of its bone structures are in place. I mean, really, it's a fully formed fetus in the womb at 15 weeks. And so because of that, Mississippi said, we're going to draw the line here and execute our interests to protect children.
Okay, very good. You know, it's interesting, thinking about this 15-week part of this, I think of that fact that Abby Johnson, who wrote the book Unplanned, and they made a movie about her story and everything, the abortion that she saw in a clinic of which she was the manager, and then she was asked to guide the sonogram for the doctor who used sonogram-guided abortions, and it was a 15-week baby, unborn baby, that was being killed. And when she saw the sonogram of this little unborn baby, she said, this is a little baby fighting for his life. And the scales fell off her eyes, and now she became pro-life, and she's, you know, very much opposed to that. But I bring that up because it's like she saw that at 15 weeks. There's something very special about this. And the baby's heart is beating by that time, but it was beating earlier as well, correct?
It is. The baby's heartbeat begins around 5 or 6 weeks. It's detectable a little bit later with our technology, but, you know, babies can suck their thumbs at 12 weeks. And my son, at around 16 weeks, my sonogram of my son, he was sucking his thumb. And that's just an incredible thing to understand, the humanity of the child in the womb. Because before you can even get into an abortion debate, you have to talk about what abortion is. Abortion ends the life of a small human. That's the discussion that needs to be had before you can start really, you know, justifying the reasons for killing the small human. You have to deal with it on its terms, which is something you really won't ever see pro-abortionists do. But, you know, groups like Human Coalition Action, we want to draw truth and light to the surface and say we have a duty to listen to science, to look at medicine and the developments we've had in the last few decades and say we now know more than we ever did, and we can't continue to turn a blind eye to what's happening.
You are quoted as saying it's a very real possibility that my children will witness the transformation of America into a culture that values humans from conception to natural death, end quote. Do you think that there is a correlation between the rising, you know, acceptance of abortion, the culture of death that abortion has helped foster in America, and the incredible violence we're seeing in our streets, strangers against strangers? I mean, virtually every day you see these, cell phone video clips of some sort of fight. I was just watching one today, and I think it was from today, of some sort of fight in a pizzeria in Brooklyn between a customer and somebody in the store. I mean, it's just like, what? What's going on? Is there a link between abortion and the violence we're seeing?
That's such an interesting and important question to ask. I think we as a society need to say we have a duty to look at humans with dignity and value because they're human, no matter their race, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their sex, age, any of it. We have to look at humans and say you are valuable and important and worthy of protecting because you are human. You have value. And that's something we're seeing less and less of in society around us. You're right. Violence is on the rise. Murder is on the rise. Abortion rate is about 850,000 children a year are aborted. And we can't spend our time in society dehumanizing one another and then expect society to respond any other way. And so, you know, my hope is to shed light on that and say, especially from a Christian worldview, that we're all created with a purpose. We're all created intentionally. We're all created with value. And because of that, we're worthy of protection.
You know, it's interesting. Mother Teresa had said many years ago, and if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell others, you know, not to kill one another? And boy, that's a, you know, very profound question. But it relates to that. You know, again, we're talking about the culture of life versus the culture of death. Now, let me ask you this. Since we're talking about the Supreme Court, and we've seen situations in the past where conservatives were very hopeful about, you know, some sort of Supreme Court decision and so forth. I was around in 1992 when the Casey decision came out. And I remember conservatives were very excited about it because, you know, as one man said, you can count the votes, you know, and he was counting Anthony Kennedy as one of the five votes in favor of the pro-life position. And lo and behold, Casey, 1992, worked against the pro-life side of things. And I just want to mention this. You know, we ought to keep up our prayers on this because sometimes these judges can think out on us.
You're absolutely right. There's no telling ever what the court will do. And we know there was a lot of chaos and confusion surrounding those opinions behind the scenes among the clerks. And you know, things were being argued that shouldn't have been argued behind the scenes. And so we need to pray as a country now for the Supreme Court that they make the right decision. You know, I believe the Constitution supports the right decision. The law is on their side. The arguments are on our side. Everything is there for the Supreme Court to make a very good decision on this issue, a legally sound decision. And so we just need to pray for courage and against really all kinds of the threats they're going to be receiving in the limelight about this one.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Chelsea Heumann. The website is HUCOAction. Is that .org?
It's .org. HUCOAction.org.
Okay. And we have 20 seconds left. Closing thought on what HUCOAction does in general?
Yes, we advocate on behalf of women and their preborn children to ultimately end abortion. We believe the best way to end abortion is to reach the women who need help in sometimes the hardest times of their lives. And so I advocate to do that through law and the courts and policy.
Chelsea Heumann, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
You got it.